You guys are married how long?
About 4 days.
Really? And you have all those children?
We've been married for 7.5 years now.
No, babe.
See, you know how many
eight.
Times?
It's not eight.
Yes, it is.
Here we go.
6, 9, 7, 8. Okay, sorry.
Kirk Franklin has sold more than 10 million albums in less than 10 years. He's a 3-time Grammy Award winner and a 7-time Dove Award winner. His hit Stomp from the triple platinum album God's Property made him a star with the MTV crowd. But Kirk's career came to a screeching halt a few years ago when his private, or should I say secret life, was no longer a secret. Kirk came clean and confessed his addiction to pornography.
There's always that boy who's got the big brother who's got the magazines up on his bed. And that's how it starts. And the first time I ever saw one, I was maybe like about 8 or 9 when I saw my first magazine. And from there, I was addicted.
Did you bring that into the marriage?
Yes, I did.
Was she aware of it?
Not the first year, but the second year.
When did you find out? How did you find out, Kim?
Well, once he realized that he was having a problem, he just came to me. And he said...
No, baby. Let's even make it more real. Let's even keep it real. I tried... to when we got married, because I still had those single male ways.
Oh. Yeah.
And so...
I didn't realize this what he was...
Yeah,
I would say within our second year of marriage, he tried to implement it within our marriage. You know, watch this with me, honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it made me feel dirty. It didn't make our intimacy sacred to me. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not watching it. I would get angry. I was like, no, I'm not watching it with you.
Kirk's secret life ran amok while he traveled to promote his latest releases. At home, Tammy had no idea of the extent of Kirk's problem.
I didn't see any evidence that he was doing it at home. He knew how I felt about it.
I would think
he was hiding it.
I
was.
So you had a secret life.
Yeah, I was doing it at home when she was asleep.
Really?
Yeah, when she was asleep, I'd go upstairs. You know, yeah.
How did you finally get to a point where this thing has got to be dealt with?
We were in Los Angeles, and we were in the bed that morning, just in the hotel, and we were laying there, and I said, baby, I need to tell you something. I said, I'm struggling with pornography. I mean, it is a struggle. I have a problem with pornography. It's a problem.
And your response, Tammy?
My response immediately was just to be sensitive to it. What blessed me is that he did look at it as a problem, that it wasn't, you know, a lot of guys can have an attitude of, you know, it's normal for, you know,
a man thing.
Yeah, it's a man thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wasn't coming to me like that blessed me so that I just began to just, you know, pray for him consistently, and I knew that I wanted him to know more than anything that this was something we were going to work through
together.
That's what's so weird about porn is that you have different people, even in the body, that feel different about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like, there are some Christian men that I know that would say that I'd rather do that than cheat on my wife. When I've had to, you know, shed light on is that, dude,
we're cheating on our wife.
Yeah. We're cheating on our wife because whatever men think it. So is he.
Yeah.
So we cheating.
So you have a woman now who's willing to walk it through with you. So what are the people who are in it now? I mean, you're living this secret life. And you're scared to death somebody will find out about it.
It's weird, man, because think about it. You're talking about a dude that was a minister of music at a church when I was 11. You would think that the body was... It's almost like I got to sometimes check myself because sometimes there's an anger that rises up in me. And I get evangelically ticked off about the fact that I wish somebody would have taught me a long time ago the repercussions of sex and flesh and lust and vanity and pride and ego and all these other things. I wish somebody would have been holding my little behind accountable years ago. But let me tell you what happens to the gifted. The gifted in the church, they slip right through.
Why?
Because the gifted are able to naturally and emotionally control the atmosphere of the service.
So we relate to you based on the gift rather than you as the man.
There you go, brother. Nobody asked the minister of music if he's sitting up there killing and everybody's crying and speaking in tongues. Nobody asked him, are you going home that night? How's your marriage? What's going on with you and your wife? Nobody holds the gifted accountable in the body.
Even though Kirk's wife knew about his problem and prayed for him, no one held him accountable. That is until he met Pastor Tony Evans, a man who wasn't dazzled by Kirk's celebrity.
When I first went to his church, it was 1998, and I had an album out called Stomp. I was traveling to Dublin, Ireland to do songs with Bono. I was getting flowers from Arsenio Hall. I was getting letters and cards from Mike Tyson. I was, you know, hanging out with Denzel and all these other big-time celebrities. I was working on a TV pilot for ABC.
I'm impressed, man. I didn't realize you were that famous. Go ahead.
Well, it's like, you know, it's all that garbage. None of that junk you could take to heaven, so, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
But I was bathing in it.
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of my Christian community was bathing in it with me.
But when Kirk and his family started attending Pastor Evans' church, Kirk didn't receive the same treatment he was accustomed to.
You come here the same way everybody else comes here, through the cross. And at the cross, the ground is very level. So you're treated like everybody else. We recognize your gifts. We recognize that, you know, we honor people. The Bible says give honor whom honor is due. But there's only one celebrity, and that's Jesus Christ.
With Tony Evans, he could care less who I was, and if I didn't get there enough time, I had to sit where everybody else sat. And I got mad at it, but then it was something that was pulling me to it. And I was crying out to be discipled. And so when I called him one night and told him, I need help, I have a problem.
Since the sexual area so defines men and is so accessible to men, it's so easily reached after as a defining point. It has to do with who you are, whether you're really a man, and all of this wrong definition. But once we can clarify a person's identity in Christ, once we can help them to understand how to walk in the Spirit, then they can discover that the law of the Spirit is indeed greater than the law of the flesh.
Kirk told Pastor Evans everything. In turn, this helped Kirk be honest with the people who mattered most in his life.
And that started the journey to healing.
Yes, sir.
And with Tammy.
Yes, sir.
And you saw the change in the man.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
And he's clean now?
Yes.
He is. But so people can be set free from this, but they're going to have to admit they have the problem, and they're going to have to come clean with somebody who's going to hold them accountable.
There's a process to it.
Yeah.
If I have been set free from this one, anybody can, because for years, I even questioned, could I get free from this one? Because, I mean, I was doing albums. Albums that people, that God was speaking to, people were blessed by. And I was struggling with pornography. I mean, Why We Sing came out in 93. And I was struggling with pornography. Storm came out in 97. I was struggling with pornography. I mean, these albums, God was speaking through, and everybody else was getting their victory and walking and stuff, except for me. And I used to question, and I almost began to wonder, what's going on? And what was happening, and this may help people, is that my victory didn't come by my emotional experience. My victory came through truth.
Set you free.
When I was taught truth, that's when I got my